Begin the current daf mesech, the Psachim daf hey. We begin 8 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. And that is on the previous daf on Amud Beis, the Gemara introduced the machlokes between Rabbi and Rabbi Huda regarding the zman of bir chametz. And that is related to the sugya of the beginning of mesech, the Psachim, which speaks about Arla ba'asa, we do the bedika for chametz and erev Pesach. That's related to the halacha, the Rabbanan introduced the halacha of bedika, which related to the chiv dairaisa of doing bir chametz, of getting rid of the chametz from one's domain. Now, midday rice, that starts, which the Gemara said, although there's a machlekes regarding midday abana, which will be a mishnah later on, is that after the fourth hour or after the fifth hour. Either way, the Gemara says that everyone agrees that after the sixth hour, it's going to be asa midday rice to have the chametz. You have to be your chametz before noon on Erev Pesach. So the Gemara says, how do you know that? Where's the source for that? So the Gemara says on the previous stop that there were two psukim. One says Shibas Yom, the entire 7 days the chametz is forbidden. And the other one says Ach b'yom rishon, which sounded like that. It sounds like that a little bit of that day is going to be mutter, some is aser. Now, how could that be? So the Gemara says, must be that Rishon means the day before, means on your Dalet. To which the Gemara asks, how do you know? Maybe it means on the first day. On that, the Gemara says, no, they couldn't be. And that's where it was on top of this Amud, where the Gemara says that it couldn't be, which would mean the night of the Seder night, which would be the time, because you know from the Shibas Yamim that it's entirely forbidden, but that might be Yamim, not Leilois. And that the Gemara says, you can't say that Rishon would mean even the evening of the 15th, because we know it from learning Hashbas's Chametz, from Achilas Chametz, which Achilas Chametz is learned off in the midst of Achilas Matz, which we know that's on the first night of Pesach, and therefore that would include also Hashbas's Chametz. We already would know from that Limud that that's forbidden on the night of Pesach. Must be when the Pasuk says, Ach B'yom Rishon, that's including the first day, meaning the day before of Pesach, which on the 14th of Nisan. Now Gemara continues on that discussion and says, So we proved that it must be not on the 15th and later on, meaning from when Pesach starts, because that we have a source for already. It must be Ach B'yom Rishon means that the Chiyuv of Bir Chametz starts on the day before, on the 14th. But then the Gemara asks, Ve'ima l'rabbis lel yudal l'bir. Let's say that it's coming to include that even the night of the 14th, you have to already have the chametz already gone. We do the bedika of chametz, but we only do the beer by the zman, at least with the raisa, afternoon on the 14th in the afternoon. Why would we say that? Where do we get the shear of saying that it's by noon? Let's say, if we're including by Yom HaRishon, it means to say, not the first day of Pesach, because that we already know that's forbidden, that it's telling the day before Pesach, which on the 14th, let's say it starts already on the evening, which all halachic days start in the evening already. Now the Gemara says no, but Yom Kisib says during the day. So it definitely can't be at the nighttime. So definitely there's no chiv beer on the night before. So we would know it's by day. But then the Gemara asks, Ve'im mitzafra. So then let's say it starts in the morning on the 14th of Nisan, not by noon, which we said everyone agrees it starts afternoon. Where do you know that from? Now the Gemara answers, Ach chilik, that the word Ach b'yom rishon, however, but on the first day, as Rashi explains, every time it says in the Torah, Ach or Rak, it's a meat, it's diminishing, it's taking away from what's there. And therefore, we see that some of the day is going to be mutter, some of the day is going to be aser. And therefore, that's what Rashi says, that we could separate to say that half the day is forbidden and half the day is permitted, which is the source for telling us that the chiv of bir chametz only starts afternoon, halfway through the day, on Erev Pesach on the 14th of Nisan. Because Ach b'yom rishon is telling us this chiv of bir chametz, but saying Ach, which is diminishing it. So to say that it's not entirely asa b'yom rishon, which again we're saying as a reference to the 14th of Nisan, that must be that it's saying that half of it is going to be mutter, and that's why it starts after the sixth hour. So the Gemara says, Debei b'shmol tana, they give a different approach to this, to say, which is addressing the Gemara's question that was asking on the previous daf, which went on to the top of this Amud, which was, how do you know that B'yom HaRishon is a reference to the 14th of Nisan and not to the 15th of Nisan? So we answered to say, and in the first shot in the Gemara, we're saying that it can't be the 15th, because that we already have a source for already, and must be the 14th. However, in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught that, no, Mitzini Yudal Chenikah Rishon, we have a source already in the Torah that tells us that the 14th of Nisan is called Rishon the first, and therefore when it says Ach B'yom HaRishon, it would be going on the 14th. Shneim, like it says, a pasuk in Shemais, Berishon, on the first, Barba Asriyam Lachedish, on the 14th of the month, which in the Pashtub Shad of the Pasuk is saying that on the 14th day of the month, Ba'er, on the evening, Techel Matzis, that's when you eat Matzis until the 21st day. However, when you read the Pasuk, the way the Gemara brings it, is saying that on the first, on the 14th of the month, so you see that the 14th is called the Rishon, and therefore we would say the same thing regarding the Lach of Bir Chametz, that when it says Ach B'yom HaRishon for the Lach of Bir, it would be a reference to the 14th of the month. Now the Gemara gives a different approach to tell us the source, that we know Ach B'yom HaRishon is a reference to the 14th, and not which would be the Pashtub Shad of the Pasuk, the first day of Pesach on the 15th. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, he says that even without the approach of the previous pshat in the Gemara, which was on the previous daf, that even without contrasting these two psukim of Shivas Yamim, which sounds like it's entirely the 7 days, and then you have the other pasuk of Ach B'Yom Rishon, even without that, just the word Rishon would tell us that's a reference to the 14th. How so? Because Rishon Demikara Mashma, the word Rishon sounds like it's a reference to what comes before. And that is the day that comes before all the 7 days that the pasuk talks about. As the pasuk over there says, Shivas Yomim Matzah Toichle, 7 days you'll eat matzahs, Ach B'Yom Rishon. However, on the first day, what is but in the first day? Meaning the day that's before everything that we were speaking about, that would be what we're saying, that you have to do Tashbis, that you have to get rid of all your chametz. Damakras, the pasuk in Eiv says, Harishon Adam Tivali, which the taich of the, which the interpretation of that pasuk is, that were you born before Adam Harishon? So you see that the word Harishon over there is going in a reference to prefacing, did you come before? And that, again, that's the source for telling us that when it says Ach B'Yom Rishon, it doesn't mean the first day of Pesach, it means in reference of coming before Ach B'Yom Rishon, but what's before the Shivas Yamim, that's when the Chiv of Bir is, and again, that would be on the 14th of Nisan, and we have a source, as we said before, that it would be by Chatzais, it would be afternoon, because of Ach Chilik, that Ach is a diminishing it, and saying that only half of it's going to be Aser, and half of it will be Mutter. Then the Gemara asks, based on this that we said that Harishon is a reference to what comes before, and that's how we know it's going to be the 14th of Nisan. So the Gemara says, El Mi'ata, but this that it says a pasuk in Yikra of Lekachtem Lechem B'Yom Rishon, that you should take for yourself on the first day, and that's the pasuk that says the Chiv of taking the Lulav of the Dal Minim. So Hachinami Rishon Dimikar Mashma, here also, according to this Pshat in the Gemara, which is taking a whole new angle about how we know it's Ach B'Yom Rishon at the Chiv of Bir Chametz on the 14th, because Rishon means before, so when it says regarding Sukkot that you should take on the first day, which usually the way we interpret is the first day of Sukkot, you're saying it would mean that there's a Chiv to Shakal Lulav on the day before Sukkot, because you're saying Rishon means before. Another Gemara says no. Shani Hasim Nechsev. There it's different by taking the lulav, because there the pasuk says b'samachtem lefnei Hashem akechem shabasim, that you should rejoice in front of Hashem your God 7 days, and that's in the same pesukim over there regarding the chiva of taking the lulav and esig. That is mashvi shvi lachag, just like over there when it says 7 days you should take it, means the 7 days of the yomtiv afrishin rishin lachag. So too when it says over there that you should take it by yom rishin, there we will not interpret it before. It's going to be the first day of all the 7 days of the Chag of Sukkot. But then the Gemara continues to ask, what do you mean? Hachanamik Sev, here also there's a Pasuk in Shemais. In this Pasuk that we're talking about regarding Pesach, it says Shivas Yamim, and therefore there, here where it says Ach B'Yom Rishon, we should say the same interpretation that you gave to resolve how we understand by taking the Lulav. It says Ach B'Yom Rishon Tashbis, but on the first day you should eliminate all your chametz. Shivas Yamim Matzahs Techil, 7 days you should eat matzahs. And just like you said regarding taking a little of these, you said no, there it doesn't mean before, because the pasuk says Shiva and it says Rishon. So you say that just like Shiva is the 7 days of the Yamtiv, so Rishon is also the first day of the Yamtiv. What I mean, the same pasuk here that you're telling us, but Rishon means before. Also, in the same pasuk, equates it with Shivas Yamim Matzahs Techil. So you should say the same thing, but like by lulav, that it means the first day of the Yamtiv. That the Gemara answers. If it was the same as the how we answered regarding taking the lulav, it should say, but regarding bir chametz, in that pasuk of Ach B'Yom Rishon, it should not say Ach B'Yom HaRishon, it should say Ach B'Yom Rishon. But on the first day of Pesach, then there would be the chiv bir. HaRishon Lamli, the first, why do I need that extra? Hey, what's that teaching us? Shema Minol HaKedamar, that's coming to teach us, like we said, that's not saying the first day of Pesach, because then it wouldn't make sense to hey, it would say Ach B'Yom Rishon. HaRishon means that which word comes first, that's a reference to Yodal Nisan. And that the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that's the case, what do you mean? Hasam Nami, there also by Lulav. And there it also says HaRishon. The hey of HaRishon, Lamali, why do I need that? That you're back to the same question. That should also make the same interpretation that you're saying over here, that it should mean before also. Vesu, even more the Gemara asks, Hasam, there over there, it says in the Pasuk of the Yikra, Bayom HaRishon Shabbosin, that on the first day, a day of rest, Ubayom HaShemini Shabbosin, and on the eighth day, a day of rest, Eimer Rishon Demikar Mashmi, there it also says HaRishon. It should also sound like that it's telling us that it's the day before, which would sound like that it's going to be Issa Malacha on Erev Sukkot. We don't find such a thing, but based on what you're saying, that HaRishon means the day before, there it also should mean the day before. I thought the Gemara answer is no. Shani Hasam, there it's different. Damakar, because the Pasuk tells us, that on the eighth day is a day of rest, and which is, we are equating over here, similar to the text we gave before by Lulav. Just like the eighth, it means the eighth day of the month, of the Yom Tov, of Sukkot, of Rishon Rishon Dechag. So to there where it says the first, it means the first of the month. But then the question becomes harishon lamali. But then what's with the hay? As we said before, we said the same thing applies to luv. Then we asked it back on Pesach. It should also be equating it with the 7 days of Pesach. But then we said, oh, it says harishon. That would tell us the day before. But here it says harishon. On that he answers, says, well, that's for a different drasha. You're right, it would tell us the day before. But there it's limu'ute chodesh ha'moed. The reason why it says harishon and not just rishon is to exclude chol ha'moed. The chol ha'moed, the intermediate days between the first days of Yom Tov and the last days of Yom Tov, they have a lower category, and that they will not be usher in Malacha, which is what it's talking about over there, over Shabbos. And therefore, again, we're still resolved that we're saying harishon means before, but there, although it says harishon, is coming to exclude something else of chodesh ha'moed. And that the Gemara asks, Chalash Amayid, Merishan Nishmini Nafka. I don't need the Hey Harishan to come to exclude Chalash Amayid. That I already know from the first and the eighth day of Yom Tov. In other words, since by the first and the eighth it says Shabbos and days of rest, but it could infer that, but the middle days, which it doesn't say Shabbos, that they're not days of rest and you're allowed to do Malacha. So why would I need Harishan to teach us that? And that the Gemara says, no, Itzach, I still need it. And the reason is, I would have thought to say, since when it says the eighth day, it says, and the eighth day. Now, Vav, a Vav always is extending what was before, comes to include the days before, which are, I would have thought to say that even the weekday days of Yom Tov, that they are also forbidden in the Malacha. That's why I needed Harishan to tell me that the Hay is coming to exclude the intermediate days of Yom Tov, that they're not forbidden in the Malacha. But in truth, we're still back, we still have the resolution that we said that Rishon, when it's equated to Shibas Yom and Mor Shmini, that it would be comparing it and would not be the one before, it would be the day of Yom Tov. However, here by Pesach it says Harishon would mean the day before Yudal Nisan. Although there regarding Sukkot, we find also there it says Harishon is that's for a different reason. That's to exclude Chalash Amayid. Now, although I would know to exclude Chalash Amayid because it only says it's forbidden on the first and the eighth, but I would think since by the eighth it says above that it's, and also it's extending from the Chalash Amayid days, that they're also forbidden. Kamash Malan, that's why I needed Harishon to exclude the days of Chalash Amayid. But then the Gemara asks, but Loilichta Brachmana Loivav. What do you mean? Why do we need to do this way? Just don't say uva yem hashmin. Don't say and the eighth day, which is mashma, this extension that I would need the hay to exclude, and below hay, then I won't need the hay of harishon to exclude the days of chalash amayit. Why is it? Why does it say the vav over there to say and the eighth day, which would sound like that's extending the days of chalash amayit, and that's why we need the hay to exclude the days of chalash amayit. Don't say either one. And that the Gemara says, moreover, v'su. Hastim nechsev there that it says a pasuk in Vayikra when it talks about the Isra of Malacha on Pesach, it says Bayoim Harishon Mikra Kodesh Yilchem, that on the first day should be a holy convocation, a day of calling of holiness should be for you. So there Rishon the Mikar Mashma, there again it says Harishon, and you tell me they're also telling me that this Isra Malacha on Erev Pesach. So therefore the Gemara says, based on all these questions that which was asking based on this interpretation that Harishon is saying that the day before. But we have all these psukim that also say Harishon, and obviously they're not the day before. There's no Isra Malacha on Erev Sukkot, Erev Pesach. So the Gemara says, we will stay with the teretz we set up until now. That correct, Harishon does usually mean the day before, and that's why hereby it means Yudal Nisan and not Tezva. Elahani Shleish Harishon, but these three psukim, where it says Harishon, which is Mikra Kodesh by Pesach, which is the Isra Malacha on Pesach, Mikra Kodesh of Sukkot, which is the Isra Malacha on Sukkot, and the Mitzvah of Lulav, which also says Harishon, Miboiloi, they're necessary. In other words, they cannot be used to ask and refute Rav Nachman's interpretation. Because here where it says Rishon by these three psukim is not to for the actual pasuk itself to tell us a certain halacha. Rather, it's just a name that they're given that they're called Rishon. And that is why it's called a Rishon, but not to make an interpretation which would mean, based on Rav Nachman's halacha, that it means the day before, but obviously it's not the day before. There's no Isra Malacha on Erev Pesach on Erev Sukkot. And Rav Nachman's interpretation stands that Harishon over here by Ach Bayam Harishon of the Chiv of Hashbasa, getting rid of Chametz, that is on the day before. But rather here it's just we call them Harishon for a different reason altogether, and it cannot be used as asking point on Rav Nachman. The Tan Bei Bishmal, like Bishmal told in the Brisa, this Agadita, that Beschar Shloish Harishon, that in the merit of these three Rishons, which is again the keeping the Isra of Malacha on the Yom Tov of Pesach and the Shvisas of Regal of Yom Tov of Sukkot and taking the Lulav on Sukkot, which they're all called Rishon. Zachu l'shleish Rishon, in their merit, we merited to three other Rishons, to three other firsts. One is Lahachar Zar Shel Esav, to kill out the descendants of Esav. lebinyan beis hamikdash, to building the beis hamikdash, ulishmoy shel Mashiach, and to the name of Mashiach. As the Gemara explains, lahachar zar shel Esav, to kill out the descendants of Esav, the Chassid says the pasuk in Bereishis, the yetzi harishon admanya, that the first one went out entirely red, kulei kader seir, entirely like a coat full of hair, which was a reference to Esav, who's called Rishon, and again, that's one of the Rishons that we get in merit of these three Rishons. And we find regarding the building of the Beis HaMikdash as written in the pasuk in Yirmiyah, Kisei Kavod, the throne of glory, Mara Mirishon, that's elevated from Rishon, from the beginning, Mekayim Mikdashenu, the place of our holy sanctuary, again showing that that's another Rishon that we got because of the three Rishons. And the third one is L'shmoy Shel Mashiach, and to the name of Mashiach, like it says the pasuk in Yeshayah, Rishon, let's see, the first of Tzion, Hine Hinam, behold, they're here, which is a reference to the name of Mashiach. Again, these are the three Rishons that we got, B'schus, the three Rishons that it says in the pasuk, and that's why they're called Rishon, not to tell us the day before, which generally that is what it means, like Rav Nachman's Pshat, but here they're here for what was taught in the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel. Now the Gemara brings a different source for that the time of Bir Chametz is on the 14th of Nisan. Up until now we had learned it from Rishon, that Rishon means either by default it must mean the day before because it can't be on the 15th, or it means because Rishon means the day before. Now the Gemara brings a different source entirely for this halacha that we know it from the 14th and it can't be from the 15th and on. Rav Mahachi brings an entirely different pasuk, a pasuk in Shemais. It says, Le'sishchat al chametz dam zivchim. Don't slaughter the blood of my sacrifice on when there's still chametz, when you still have leavened bread. Which the explanation is, Le'sishchat ha-pesach v'adayin chametz kaim. Don't slaughter the carbon pesach when you still have chametz in your rishus. Now, the slaughtering of the carbon pesach, the beginning time is in the beginning of the seventh hour, which is what's called bein harbayim, between the two evenings, which is when the sun starts moving towards the area of where the shkiyas hacham is, as the Gemara in Masechtas Yuma daf Chav Ches Mabei says. And therefore, since that's at the end of the sixth hour, that's when the beginning of the slaughtering of the pesach is. So that's obvious time when you can't have chametz anymore. As that pasuk says, that's a clear source, not from the pasuk that we had explained up until now of ach b'yam rishon. But that the Gemara asks, ve'ema kol chad v'chad, but let's say every single person should be mevar his chametz ki shachit, when he slaughters. In other words, right before he slaughters, then he has to get rid of his chametz. So let's say if he only slaughters his carbon pesach by the ninth hour, so let him get rid of it by the ninth hour. How do we know that everyone has to get rid of their chametz after the sixth hour? That the Gemara answers no, because zman shchita am rachman, the Torah tells us a time of slaughtering. The Torah was not machalik for the entire Jewish people to say, he has this time and he has this time. And since the Torah set a designated time that when the Pesach is slaughtered, you can't have chametz, that means everyone has to be equal in that, and that was the designated time of when you can start bringing the Karban Pesach, which is after the sixth hour. So the Gemara says, Tanam Hachi, similar in a Braisa that says, just like Rava, says, Ach Bayoim Harishon, but on the first day, Tashbisu Sa'omi Betechim, you should eliminate all the leaven from your houses. Now, the question was, as we had said before, Is this from before Yom Tov that you have to get rid of the chametz, or on Yom Tov itself? Maybe once Pesach starts, this when you have to do this mitzvah of getting rid of chametz. Tamaloyma, this brings the pasuk that Rava had brought, Le'sishchet al chametz dam zivchi. Do not slaughter when you still have chametz the blood of my sacrifice, which is, as we said, Le'sishchet as a Pesach v'adayin chametz kaim. Don't slaughter the carbon Pesach when you still have chametz in your possession, divrei b'shmol, which again is exactly as Rava had said. However, the Braisa brings two other interpretations. Rabbi Kiva Ima Enetzach, he says, you don't need this interpretation that Rabbi Shmuel had brought from this pasuk to show that you would have to do Bir Chametz on the 14th of Nisan. Harei Oemer, it says in the pasuk, Ach Bayem Arishin, but on the first day, Tashbisu Sa'omir Betechim, you should eliminate the old leaven from your houses. Uksevin, it says another pasuk in Shemais, Kamalocha, which the proper gears is, Lo Ye'osir Behem, should not be done in them. Now, Umetzinu LaHavara Shi'a Malocha. And we know that Havara, burning something, is one of the lama tests, malachas. And therefore, this havara of burning the chametz is what's called shaloi letzarech. It's not necessary to be done on Yom Tov. And the pasuk, the Torah, forbids doing malacha on Yom Tov. That's not necessary. Therefore, B'Kiva says, it must be that when it says Ach bayim harishin, that that's when you should do bir chametz, must be talking about on the 14th of Nisan, because it cannot be the 15th of Nisan. Because how do you do bir chametz? By burning. Or burning has havar to one lametes melachas, and you cannot do a lametes melachas. It's not for eichel nefesh on Yom Tov, and this is not for eichel nefesh purposes. So obviously, when the Torah tells you to burn up the chametz, it must be talking about on erev Pesach, which on the 14th of Nisan. Therefore, I don't need the puzzle that Rabbi Shmuel brought that lo yisishchet al chametz dam zivchi to teach us this halacha. You would know it just from logic that you cannot do bir chametz on Nisan, on the 15th of Nisan, which is already on Yom Tov. Rabbi says he also disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel that you don't need the pasuk he brought down, because Harei Oimer, it says in the pasuk Ach b'yem harishon, but on the first day Tashbisus Oimer b'teichim, you should eliminate all leaven from your house. Which the question was Me'erv Yom Tov be'enel b'yom tov, was this from before Yom Tov, or maybe this starts the chiv when Pesach starts? Tam Oimer, as we had said before, Ach, but Chilek, it limits, and that the pasuk is permitting you to keep it part of the day when you have the chiyuv of doing beer. And he explains further how this cannot be on the day of Pesach. Ve'i, and if you're going to say that the day of the beer, of when there's the chiyuv to eliminate the chametz, is b'yom tov atzma, is on the day of Yom Tov itself, mishari, is it permitted to hold on to it at all once Pesach starts? But v'ha'iskish, hashvasas sa'or la'chilis chametz, as we had brought in the beginning of this daf, that the elimination of all leaven is equated in the pasuk to eating of chametz, of that prohibition. And we know that achilas chametz l'achilas matzah, and the prohibition of eating chametz is equated with the mitzvah of eating matzah. Now, the mitzvah of eating matzah is already on the first night of Pesach. So obviously, that eliminating of the leaven is from when Pesach starts. And therefore, you cannot have ach, which teaches that whatever day it is that there's a chiv doing beer, that only part of it is asr and part of it is mutter, because we know that it's saying that ach is mechalik and saying that part of it will be mutter. Now, it cannot be on the day of Pesach because that starts once it already gets dark, that it's going to be forbidden because it's equated to the eating of chametz, which is equated to the eating of matzah, which already starts once Pesach starts. But as Rashi says, if it didn't say ach, then we could have said that b'yom harishon is bein hashmashos, which is the beginning of the night of the 15th of Pesach. But now you have to say that it's going to be within the day of the beer, that still the pasuk is permitting you part of that day to hold on to the chametz and not do the beer, because that's what ach teaches us. And as we had taught regarding erev Pesach, that's only by noon, which is half the day will be mutter, half the day will be asr. That cannot be on Pesach, because we know that definitely starts once the evening of Pesach starts, as we compare it to all the way to the eating of matzah, which starts right when Pesach starts. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi says you don't need to come onto the pasuk of Rabbi Shmuel to teach you that you need from the pasuk of Lisishchat that it's going to be on the erev Pesach, because you know by logic that the pasuk itself of Ach B'Yerushim Rishon that teaches Hashpasa, which Ach is telling you that part will be mutter, part will be asr, cannot be on Yom Tov, has to be on erev Yom Tov on the 14th of Nisan. Now the Gemara explains the Braisa. Amar Rava. Rava says we continue on to Amud Beis. Shmamin Amud Rabbi Kiva Tlas. The middle opinion, the Braisa, Rabbi Kiva teaches us three halachas. Shmamina, first of all, we learn from the fact that he said that that it says Yom Harishon, that it's going to be talking about Erev Yom Tov, and the way he proved that, Rabbi Kiva, was because since it's forbidden to do Havara, which is one lametes malachas on Yom Tov itself, so obviously the first thing that you learn from him is that he holds like a Behuda, who says later on the Per Kol Shah and the Chafalaf and the Chav Zayin that Ein Bir Chametz El Sreifa. The only way that you mekayim the mitzvah of Bir Chametz, of eliminating the Chametz from your possession, is by burning it, which Rabbi Huda later on learns from the Halach of Noiser, which by leftover Kabbanist has to be burnt. And the reason is because if you would be able to mekayim Hashbasa, which is eliminating your Chametz in any way possible, just get rid of it, so then you could do the Bir Chametz on Yom Tov, because you could just get rid of it by giving it to dogs to eat or throwing it to the ocean. Obviously, from the fact that part of his calculation was that it cannot be in Yom Tov, because you can't do beer, because you can't burn, which is Havara, on Yom Tov, obviously the only way you could do beer chametz is by burning. Now, Ushmamina, the second thing we learned from Rabbi Kiva's opinion, from the fact that he says that it's an Av Malacha, and that's why he says that this Havara, which is Av Malacha, cannot be done in Yom Tov, that he's saying it's Av Malacha, obviously, is that he holds like Reb Nosson, that he says, Havara L'chalak Yitzasa, that this that it says, a separate pasuk in the Torah, from all the Lamatas Malachas, only picks out one of them, regarding the Isser of Lo Yisavara Eish B'chol Mashar Seichem, you're not allowed to burn a fire in all your areas on Shabbos, that it must be like he holds like Reb Nosson, because there's a Braisa in Masechta Shabbos, and Naf Ayin Amud Aleph, that there's one opinion that says, Havara L'lav Yitzasa, that the reason why it singled out Havara was to tell us that it was included in Lo Yisasa Ka Malacha. It says all the Lametes Malachas in one pasuk. Don't do any Malacha on Shabbos. But then it went and excluded it from the general category and it singled out this one of Havara to tell you that it doesn't get Mises Bezin like all the other Lametes Malachas and that it's only going to have a lot of a negative prohibition. Whereas Reb Nosson says that no, lechalik yitzasa is coming to separate, which is that you should not say that it ever does four or five of its malachas inadvertently on Shabbos, that it's only going to be chayiv for one iser because it's only one lav that he did and one karis because it's included in one pasuk of leisasa kamalacha. On that, it specified this malacha by itself to compare all the other lamachas malachas to this one of Avar. To say just like this one of making a fire is distinct that it's the amalacha and it's chayiv on when it's done by itself, as we see it says its own chayiv in the Torah, that it's coming to say that all the other ones also, each one you're going to be chayiv its own iser for. But obviously you see the Rabbi Yossi holds that it's not an amalacha. So this that from Rabbi Kiva's calculation that he says it cannot be a yom tov itself because havar, which is av malacha, and which the only way of doing beer, as we said, because he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, is burning a fire, that cannot be on yom tov. Again, you see that Rabbi Kiva holds that havar lechalak itzasa, that it is chayiv, it is a av malacha, and it is just like other lametes malachas. And the reason why it was singled out was to separate all the lametes malachas to say you chayiv in each one individually. And the third thing you learn from Kiva's statement is we do not say that since it was permitted to do to burn a fire on Yom Tov, which is letzarech, which is for necessity, you're allowed to make a fire for oichel nefesh purposes on fire. You don't say that once it's permitted to do it, even for a tzarech, that it's permitted not to do it, even for a non-Yom Tov purpose, which would be the beer of chametz. We do not say that, obviously, because if we did, then we were allowed to do the havara of the beer of chametz anyway on Yom Tov, because we're allowed to do it for Yom Tov purposes. We don't say such a svara. And that was the combination of all these three chidushim that Reb Kiva said, that the only way of doing beer of chametz is by doing it with a fire like a Yehuda. And it's the av malacha, as Reb Nosson holds, and therefore, since this beer chametz is shaloi letzarech, and it would be doing av malacha, which you can't do on Yom Tov, and the only way to do it is by burning a fire, so it must be, Reb Kiva says, it's not going on Yom Tov, it must be talking about on erev Yom Tov, and that's why he said, Yom Tov is like a bishmol, that there's a pasuk of leisishchat, because either way, ach be'em rishon must be talking about on erev Pesach, on the 14th of Nisan. Now the Gemara brings a brisa, turn our bun. We learn the pasuk in Shemais, Shivas Yom, 7 days, so orilo yimatzu bebetechem. Leaven should not be found in your houses. Now, matay melema, what is this teaching us? Now that this Bryce is going to be focusing on the two different psukim that it says of lo yirah, which is commonly called bayirah, bayimatzu, these two isurim, these two psukim that says you shouldn't see it and it shouldn't be found. The Gemara will quote this Bryce that will discuss what are the ramifications of these two psukim. So, matay melema, what is this teaching us? What is this pasuk of lo yimatzu teaching us that it shouldn't be found? We already have this other pasuk, which is commonly called the other negative prohibition of lo yirah lecha sa'ar, which the proper gear says chametz, that no chametz should be found by you, lo yirah lecha, and the proper gear says sa'ar, that no leaven should be found by you, b'chol gvalecha, in all your boundaries. Now that would include houses also, and therefore why do I need the other pasuk of lo yimatzu bevatechem? That's already included and should not be seen in all your boundaries. And that the Gemara says, because lafisha nemar, by the pasuk of le'irah, it says le'irah l'chasar, it should not be seen by you, leaven. Now from the fact that it says l'cha, from that you could infer that shalcha yatarayah, that your own, that you cannot see, your own leaven. Aval atarayah shalachem, but you could see other people's leaven, for example, a non-Jew's. Bishal gavaya, and similarly you would be able to see something that's hektish. For example, if let's say someone sanctified it to the bedik abayis for regarding the purposes of usage for the Beis HaMikdash. That's one thing that you would not have known had you only had the pasuk of lo yirah. You would think that if it's not yours, then it's going to be permitted to see that on Pesach. Moreover, yachol, you would think that if you would only learn it from the pasuk of lo yirah l'cha, that yatmin, that a person could hide his chametz so that he shouldn't see it, and that should be enough, because it says lo yirah, shouldn't be seen. Hey, I'm burying it somewhere, and it's deep into the closet where it cannot be seen. That would be mutter. Moreover, you would think v'kabel pikdonos min anochi, that you could accept deposits from a non-Jew, because it says lacha, that it's only my own chametz, but a non-Jew's chametz is not mine, that I can go ahead and keep in my house on Pesach. Tama lo yimah lo yimatzeh. For these things, that's why it says in the pasuk, lo yimatzeh, that the Torah was for making it forbidden for you, this concept of hatman, of hiding your chametz, because lo yimatzi means it should not be found. Doesn't mean that it shouldn't be seen, even if it's not seen right now. If it could be found, that's forbidden to have. And also it's making forbidden the chametz of other people, because by that pasuk of lo yimatzi, it doesn't say lacha. So therefore, that's why we needed lo yimatzi to teach you that all these things that which we would not know from lo yirah are forbidden. But then the Gemara continues and says, fine, so that's why it makes sense why you have to have lo yimatzi, and it wouldn't be enough for the pasuk of lo yirah because of all these different things I would have thought they're mutter. So the pasuk of lo yimatzi says they're asur. But then the question is the other way around. So why don't we just have the pasuk of lo yimatzi and not need the pasuk of lo yirah? And that the Gemara says from the Braisa ainly that I would only know from the pasuk of lo yimatzi that it's forbidden only by a non-Jew that is not under the Jew's control, or and he's not living with you in the courtyard, that's when it's going to be forbidden. However, regarding a non-Jew that is under your control, or if he lives with you in the courtyard, where would you know that even there it's forbidden? Which the Gemara later on will ask, and it seems to be exactly the opposite. That when he's under your control, or if he lives within your courtyard, then it's more yours in that sense, that then it would make more sense to be usher than the other case when he's not under your domain, or when he doesn't live with you in the courtyard. However, the Gemara will address that, and there will be two different approaches. But either way, how do you know that both these cases are forbidden? That's where the pasuk continues. It says, "Tamaloi b'lo yimatzi b'betechem," that should not be found in your houses under any circumstance. Which the Gemara later will explain exactly. How do you know from this that would include no matter what the circumstance regarding the non-Jew that one is going to be chayiv for that type of chametz? But then the pasuk continues, which we had mentioned before. But so then again, still you only need the pasuk b'lo yimatzi. But you're saying it from b'betechem that's including both circumstances regarding the non-Jew, whether he's under your control or if he lives in your courtyard or not. But ainly ella sheba b'teichem. But I would only know that it's only if the chametz is in your homes. Because, in other words, regarding that, if it only said the pasuk of lo yimatzi and it didn't say lo yirah l'cha sa'ar, so I would say that it's only forbidden to hold on to chametz only if it's in one's home. Because that's what's easily accessible for him. And in those pasuk regarding lo yimatzi, it only says the word bais, it only says in one's home. But how would I know that the same thing applies to pits and cisterns and caves, that even if it's in there of your rishus, that even there the Isra of Chametz applies? That's why I needed the pasuk of Le'irah to say b'chol gvalecha and all your boundaries, that even if it's not in the person's home. But then the Braisa continues, v'adayin. However, still, even now that I have both of these psukim of Le'irah l'chasar and Le'imatze, I need to have both psukim to teach me the halachas. On the Ayma, I still would say, bebatim over, that in one's house, one would be over in all the following things. Mishum bali ra, that because of the prohibition of seeing the chametz, ubal yimatze, and of being it found, ubal yatmin, and this prohibition of even hiding the chametz, ubal yikabal pigdanis manachri, and also not to accept deposits from the non-Jew, because this that it says lo yimatze, we explained before, is mashma, even if it's hidden. But that's only written by the pasuk of houses. Lo yimatze is where it says bevatechem, which the word yimatze includes not just if it's seen, even if it's not seen, if it can be found. But it doesn't say there l'cha either by yimatze, which would exclude other people's things. So therefore, even if it's other people's things, we say it's going to be aser. But again, all these things are only said by the pasuk of lo yimatze, which says bevatechem. So in one's house, I would know all these isurim, even if it's hidden or even if it's other people's things, because there you don't have l'cha, and yimatzi says even if it could be found. However, bigvulin, but in the one's boundaries, which would, in other words, regarding bayrin shtichin ma'aris, where there it says l'cha, then I would say, if it's not in one's house, shalcha yatarayah, that if it's your chametz, you can't see it. But you could see a non-Jew's chametz or a chametz of hektish. Therefore, the question becomes, how do we know the halachas that are applicable by the pasuk of Le'irah applied to the pasuk of Lo Yimatzi? And how do I know the halachas that apply by Lo Yimatzi apply the halachas of Le'irah? In other words, the leniencies of each one and the stringencies of each one, how do I know that it applies to the other one? That's why it says, by each one, it says the word sa'ar. Nemesar bebatim, it says sa'ar by the houses, it says sa'ar lo yimatzi bevatechem, that leaven should not be found in your house. The nemesar begvulin also says the terminology sa'ar, leaven in one's boundaries, because it says lo yirah l'cha sa'ar, that it should not be found by you sa'ar. So mas sa'ar ha'amer bebatim oiv mishon bal yirah ubal yimatz ubal matmin ubal yikab begdens ben anarchi, as we had explained before, because there it doesn't say l'cha to say that only yours is asr, and that others would be mutter, which would say that even others are of a non-Jew is forbidden for you to have in your domain. And it also says yimatze, that even if it could just be found, even if it's not visible, even if it's hidden, it's still forbidden. Similarly, when it says the terminology sa'ar by all, by your entire boundary, it's also oivim mishum bal yira, or bal yimatze, or bal yatmin, or bal yikabul, pikdainis b'nanach. The same thing works in the other way. And just like we know regarding the leniency of when it says sa'ar by your boundary, where there it does say lacha, which is shalcha iataroya, that if it's your own chametz, then you cannot see it. Aval ataroya shalachem shalgavoy, but then you could see other people's. In other words, you could see non-Jews' chametz and the chametz of hekdesh, because again it says lacha, only yours is forbidden to see, but of non-Jews it would be permitted. So afsar hamer bebatim. Similarly, regarding the story which it says by the houses. That it's only your own chametz you can't see, but you could see the chametz of a non-Jew in Hegdash. The Gemara later on will ask, how do we resolve that? We just learned from Yimatze to Yirah that Yimatze does not say lacha, which therefore it says that even the non-Jews is forbidden, and that we're saying the same thing applies to Yirah, and then we go ahead and we say that Yirah, which says that lacha, that only your chametz is forbidden, but non-Jews is permitted, would apply to bias. How do we resolve that? Seems to be inconsistent, the drusha that's going either way of the kula and the chumra. Now the Gemara continues to explain the brayse. We said before, amamah, einli ele benachri shloi kivashti. I would only know that this halacha, which we find in lo yimatzei bevateichem, that it only applies to a non-Jew that's not under your control, or ve'ein shari imcha b'chatz, or if he doesn't live with you in the courtyard, that then his chametz in your possession would be forbidden. However, nachri shekevashtoi, regarding a non-Jew that he is under your control, v'shorim chabachatzir, and that he lives with you in the courtyard, minayin, how would you know that his chametz would also be a problem for you on Pesach? Tamalog min lo yimatze, that's what comes to teach you, that it shouldn't be found under any circumstances. Which means to say, even if it's not what would have been thought. But then the Gemara asks, kalapi laya, exactly which direction is this statement going? It seems to be, makes sense the logic to the exact opposite. A non-Jew that you have complete control over him, it would make sense more that it's usser than when you don't have control over him, and that it would be considered more shalcha when you do have control. So how do you understand the brayse that says, oh, I would only know it if he's not under your control, that it's forbidden his chametz, because there it doesn't say lacha. But how would you know it's even if he's under your control? Oh, that's just his leimatze. What does that mean? Exactly the opposite. When he's under your control, it's more yours than when not. So the Gemara has two answers. I'm a bai. Abai says, epech, you're right. Exactly, switch it around. In other words, I would not have known that it's forbidden only a non-Jew that's under your control, which is similar to shalcha, like yours. But regarding a non-Jew that is not under your total control, how would you know? And that's what the Brayse is telling you. Lo yimatze, it says, it should not be found. It doesn't say lo yisin, so you should not find it, which sounds more in totality that it should not be found under any circumstances, even if it's not yours, even if it's non-Jews. That's how you learn it. That's how Abaya explains the Brayse. Rav Amarava says, lo yimatze tepech. No, don't reverse it. It's exactly in the version how it was said. But va'aresha koi, it's going back on the resha, which was talking about the heter of the pasuk of lo yirah lacha. Not as we had assumed up until now that it was going on the seifa of lo yimatze, which was telling us a prohibition that regarding the iser, that it's not only the iser regarding one, but it's even regarding the other, depending on what type of non-Jew, which we had the problem. He's answering that it's going back on the resha regarding the heter, which is shalcha yatarai. We said regarding the pasuk of lo yirah lacha that it's saying lacha that oh your chametz you can't see, aval ataroya shalachem shalgavay, but you could see the chametz of others, meaning non-Jews and of hekdesh. And then that is what the Brisa says, Ainli Ela Banachish Likivashtai. I would only know what's permitted for a non-Jew if he's not under your control. Or if he's not living with you in the courtyard, which is I would only know that it's permitted to see others' chametz where you don't have responsibility, as the Gemara later will explain for his chametz, which is only when you're not Kaivish, he's not under your control. However, but regarding a non-Jew that is under your control, or if he lives with you in the courtyard, how would you know that even there it would be permitted? That's what the pasuk comes to teach us in the other pasuk of lo yimatze, that it's going to be mutter, which the Gemara asked right away. Wait a second. This Tana, the way Rava just interpreted the Braisa, he's trying to say a heter over here, which was saying that this that it's permitted when it's not your chametz, because it says lacha, is even if he's under your control. And then what does it say? It brings the pasuk of leyimatzei to say that it's going to be that pasuk. We know leyimatzei says no lacha over there, which tells you that it's usur if it's not your chametz. How could that pasuk be a raya for even the bigger chiddush of the non-Jew's chametz, even when he's under your domain or he lives in your courtyard? And that the Gemara answers, because it says the word lacha that it's yours two times. In other words, in truth, The reason why it's picking the pasuk of Leimatzi is to say a heter, as Ravat said, because going back on the resha of the pasuk of Leiralacha, that's teaching that it's only when it's yours that it's a problem. But since it says twice lacha, it says not only if the non-Jew that it's permitted because it's not shalcha, even if it is not only when he's not under your domain or doesn't live in your courtyard, but it says another time lacha to say even if he's in your courtyard or he's under your domain. Because it says regarding the halachas of Gvulin, which is regarding when it talks about Sa'ar, it says Lecha two times. It says Leira Lecha Sa'ar B'chol Gvalecha Sheves Yamim in the Parashah of Re'eh. And it says Leira Lecha Chometz of Leira Lecha Sa'ar B'chol Gvalecha in Parashah's Bay. And therefore, since it's not applicable for the Halacha of Gvulin regarding seeing the Chometz, because that's already said, so therefore we apply it to Lo Yematze. And to say that this Isra of Lo Yematze for you is even by something that's by you, is only something that's really yours. And that chametz is only aser if it's shalcha, but you could find it if it's his, who's the non-Jews. And therefore we're saying we're extending it even to Le'yimatzeh to say that the lacha will apply even not just by Le'yira, but even to Le'yimatzeh, and we're saying that even if he's under your control, it's still going to permit it. Now Rashi says, although it says in that pasuk which we mentioned just before, that it says lacha by chametz also, that's not counted, because sar and chametz in that pasuk is necessary, as the Gemara Masechta Speyas says, because you wouldn't be able to learn sar from chametz, and therefore you have to have that lacha. So that lacha is not counted, but it says twice lacha regarding layira. That's why we extend one to layimatzeh to say that this, and that's why the Brisa brings the pasuk layimatzeh to say that it's not only a nachri that's not under your control, or not in your chatzer, that's mutter, to see it, but even when he is under your control and in your chatzer, that even then it's going to be mutter. That's the interpretation of Rava, and he resolves it by saying it's not going on the case of Isser, it's going on the case of Het. Now the Gemara continues, Amar Ma, we said in the Braisa, Yochel Yatmin, you would think, based on the pasuk of Le'irah Lecha, you just shouldn't see it, that you could hide the chametz deep in the closet where it's not seen, or be a kabbal b'gdainis ben arachim, that you could accept deposits from a non-Jew, because it's only Lecha that's a problem. But if it's someone else's, you're allowed to. Tam alayim, that's the pasuk comes to teach you. Lo yimatzi, it cannot be found. Where in that pasuk, A, it doesn't say lacha. So therefore, that would include even the non-Jews, chametz is forbidden for you. And moreover, it says that you can't not be found, which would include even something that's hidden. But then the question is, which we had mentioned before, this inconsistency. Now, I'm at Reisha, but you said in the Reisha, which we ultimately equate lo yimatzi to layira, and that's why we compare both, because they both say sa'ar. You already said shalcha iyatarei. There it says lacha by layira, which came to teach us that, oh, the only thing that you're forbidden to see in your possession on Pesach is chametz that's yours. Aval atarei shalachim, but you could see the chametz of others, meaning from a non-Jew, b'shal gevayah, and never from hektish. So how do we resolve that? We're comparing both to each other. Say the kulis and the chumras of each one apply to the other. Now, we have this inconsistency, because one is lehedya teaching us that the chametz of another, of nachri, is forbidden. The other, of layira, tells us that it's permitted. Another thing is loikash. Ha de kabbal alachrais. The one that tells us that it's going to be forbidden, which is from the pasuk of Le'imatzi, which is when it is like yours and it's forbidden, that's when they accept the responsibility for the chametz. That type of chametz, even a non-Jew, is forbidden in your domain. Ha de lekabel alechrais. This that we learn out from Le'ira Lecha, that it's only yours which is forbidden, but if it's not yours, it's permitted, is saying that you did not accept responsibility. That is permitted. That will be what we compare even to the pasuk of Le'imatzi, whether in one's house or when one's gvul of Bari Sheikh Ma'aris, that if you don't accept responsibility, even if it's in your domain, then it's not going to be an isra of seeing that chametz on Pesach. As the Gemara illustrates this with this story, like Rava told to the people of Mechuza, who are the people of his city, he says, get rid of the chametz of the soldiers that they keep their food in your homes. And the reason is, although it's not your chametz, kiven de ilu migna ve ilu mitbid, if it were to be stolen, or it would get lost, it would be considered that it's in your domain, you would have to pay them. So then it's considered as if it's yours, and therefore it's forbidden. Exactly like we said before, that if you take responsibility, that's included in the Isra of Lo Yimatzeh, which tells you that even if it's the non-Jews, it's forbidden, is when you take responsibility. So then the Gemara asks, wait a second, to understand this halacha, it makes sense that because of the achrayis, responsibility, it would be forbidden to have the chametz in one's domain on Pesach. Is that would be going like the opinion that tells us that something that's a causation for money has the halachic status as money itself. And that's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon in Baba Kama and Ayin Alva Mebeis, that he tells us that regarding kachim, that there's a chiv of achrayis, of responsibility, there's a chiv for one that damages it because it's considered the owner's, although there is no, it's really hektish, but the owner has a responsibility to it, and therefore when you cause that type of damage for something that causes a loss of money, it's as if it's a direct monetary loss. And therefore here also, it would make sense to say that since I'm responsible for it, and therefore it's a garmla moment for me, so therefore it's considered like my own moment, and therefore it's like my own chametz in my house, and I'm liable for it on Pesach. According to the one that says the davar gomelam, that's a cause for money, is not like money. So how could this be considered my chametz because I would be liable for it? It's only a gomelam moment, and that's not like mamon itself. So why would I be liable for having that chametz on Pesach? And that the Gemara says, you're right, although generally it's not, according to that opinion, it's not considered mamon. But shani hacha, here regarding the chametz on Pesach, it's different. The amal lo yimatzi, that's what the pasuk teaches us, that it should not be found, as we had said before, that it's a riboy that's saying in under all circumstances, not just lo yisimtza, but lo yimatzi, would even be by something that's a dava hagoyim l'mam. Igidamri, interestingly, some say a different version to the opposite. Hanich l'man dama dava gom l'mam and lav kamam and dami, that this whole lo yimatzi makes sense, that according to the one that says that generally something that causes money is not considered like money itself, we continue at top of Amar Aleph, Hainu de Itzach le'yimatzi. That's why I need the pasuk of yimatzi to say, because generally it's not like money. So I need the pasuk to say that by chametz, but it is forbidden, although generally it's not like mamon itself, and it is considered like my chametz. Ilman da'amik mamon dami, but according to the one that says it generally is considered like money. So le'yimatzi lamali, why do I need a special pasuk to tell us? I know if it's davar gom l'mamon, so therefore we virtually consider it as if it's your chametz. And I think Gemara says in Itzrach, we would still need, even according to that opinion, because Helgadar the Chamina, I would think to say, since when the Chametz is still around, Hadar Be'en, they would have to be returned as is. So therefore, Lav B'Shus Ekai, we do not consider it as if it's in the Jew's domain. Because here we're talking about that the Chametz was not lost yet, it's in his domain. And therefore, it should be Mutter, because that would not be considered money, even in the realm of Dava Germ L'mamen, that's only when it's actually lost. And that is when the Reb Shimon say that Dava Germ L'mamen is Kamamen Dami. That's when it's not around anymore. For example, by someone that steals Kachim, which the owners are responsible to replace it. And there Reb Shimon says that even though there's no kafel of paying double for hectares, because it says L'Re'eyu, that you only pay kafel, double, when it's from your friend and not for hectares, that in this case where the owner is responsible, you'd be chayiv, because since he's the owner who has to bring the carbon is responsible for the achrayas, that is considered re'ehu, because it's a gerim for that person to pay the money, and therefore that's when it's not around anymore. But when it's around, then it's not a gerim l'mamon. I don't have any ownership in this because of the grum of mamon. It only has a grum of mamon when it's not around anymore. Kamash Mulan, that's why I needed the pasuk to tell us that even in spite of that, that even though there's mandam of darm gerim l'mamon kamamon dami, would only be when it's not around. Here, even when it is around, because of lo yimatzi, that teaches us that even in this circumstance where it's around, it's still going to be awesome.